Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be here tonight. We are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, thanking thee, O God, for this opportunity to come before thee, to worship thee, to sing thy praises, to glorify thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that thy presence would be here today. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be here upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to reach out to thee and to worship thee in spirit and in truth, for we know that thou art seeking such to worship thee. I pray, O God, that we would be within thy will here tonight, that we would be obedient to thy call, that we would listen to thy voice. I pray, O God, for thy blessing to be upon this entire service. Let everything we do here tonight be pleasing in thy sight, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 91 in the chorus book, Without Him, number 91. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Wonderful Way. Number 25.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Have your way here tonight, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to turn now to number 45 and sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus, number 45. Oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow, and there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's healing in the blood of Jesus. in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn to our hymnals now and go to number 270 and sing Nothing But the Blood, number 270. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Jesus, this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we're going to turn now to number 194 and sing, Are You Washed in the Blood? Number 194. To Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? come. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior who can cleanse us of every sin, of all iniquity? Praise the Lord. Oh, what a thought that He would go to that cross for us and wash away our sins with His very blood. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee for Thy love and Thy care towards us. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power and Thy mercy and Thy grace. We are so grateful for all that Thou hast given us, and I pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to continue to serve Thee faithfully, to do Thy will each and every day. Give us Thy wisdom, O God. Give us Thy wisdom on how to proceed in the days ahead. Give us Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose and for Thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have something we need to pray about. Leah got a phone call today from her mother, and you know, it wasn't the best of news. Of course, we know that earlier this year she had a detached retina and had to undergo surgery for that, and that part of her body is fine. Actually, her eyesight has recovered enough to the point where she can drive now, which she's very thankful for, but she had a checkup at the doctor and they found a mass in one of her kidneys. I believe it's her left kidney, and they think it's probably cancerous. They're testing it to be sure, and she should know the answer on Monday, but we need to pray for Linda right now regarding this situation, so we're going to do that. Father in heaven, we come before Thee this night in prayer for Linda, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and touch her once again. We know, O God, that Thou hast been faithful and that Thou hast helped her so much. And we pray, O God, that Thou would resolve this entire situation, Lord. We pray, O God, that all would be well. We pray, O God, that she would be completely delivered. I pray, O God, that if it is cancerous, I pray that Thou would heal it. For we know that it is not impossible for Thee to even take cancer. We've seen it before. We believe on Thee. We know that Thou art faithful. We know that Thou art almighty. We know that Thou can heal all things. So we bring Linda before Thee, praying, O God, that Thou would touch her. We pray, O God, that Thou would strengthen her. We pray that Thou would help her. We pray, O God, that Thou would lift her up, for we know how frightening this can be. But we pray, O God, that Thou would fill her with Thy peace and with Thy joy and with Thy comfort. We just pray, O God, that Thou would guide her and direct her in all things, guide her doctors, give them great wisdom. And we ask, O God, we beseech Thee that all would be well. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Well, we're going to sing one more song, and I'm not entirely sure that I remember how this one goes, but I guess we'll try it. And perhaps some of these songs we should sing more often so we don't get out of practice with them, but we're going to turn to number 227 in the hymnal and sing Under the Blood, number 227.
From day to day, under the blood, under the blood. Take doubt and fear and sin away, under the precious blood. Under the blood, the precious blood, under the cleansing, healing flood, keep me, Savior, from day to day, under the precious blood, the sinner's refuge here alone, under the blood, under the blood. Here Jesus makes salvation known, under the precious blood. Under the blood, the precious blood, under the cleansing, healing flood, keep me, Savior, from day to day, under the precious blood. Lord, with thyself my spirit fill, under the blood, under the blood, and work in me to do thy will, under the precious blood. Under the blood, the precious blood, under the cleansing, healing flood, keep me, Savior, from day to day, under the precious blood. Sweet peace abides within the heart, under the blood, under the blood, and gifts divine their joy impart, under the precious blood. Under the blood, the precious blood, under the cleansing, healing flood, keep me, Savior, from day to day, under the precious blood. The Holy Spirit, hour by hour, under the blood, under the blood, exerts his sanctifying power, under the precious blood. Under the blood, the precious blood, under the cleansing, healing flood, keep me, Savior, from day to day, under the precious blood. Under the blood, the precious blood, under the cleansing, healing flood, keep me, Savior, from day to day, under the precious blood. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Well, praise God. I'm going to step down from here now, and we're going to turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our God is good. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that blood. You know, wow. We can bring our old sinful self to the Lord Jesus and know that He can take that sin and wash us as white as snow. And it's so true. There is nothing else that could do it. There is no other fault. There is no other way. There's no other possibility at all. But the Lord Jesus gave Himself a ransom for many, that we could come to Him and freely receive of our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again, O Lord, that we have this knowledge that You have given us, Lord. Oh, that we've been able to come to that place, O Lord, O God, where the blood could be applied to our souls, Lord. O God, where You could set us free, O Lord, from the mountains of sin. O God, and all the things, O God, that, O God, had stained our lives, O God, and caused us to be separated from You, Lord. Oh God, we just thank You, Jesus, that we've had this privilege, Lord, to come before Thee, Lord. Oh God, to open up Thy Word. Oh God, and oh Lord, to be able to therefore sing Thy praises. Oh God, to worship Thee, to praise Thee, God. Oh God, to bow before Thee. Oh God, we thank You, Jesus. I pray, oh God, that You work in us, that You give us faith here tonight. Oh God, that You move the mountains that need to go, Lord. Oh God, that You bring hope to those that are in despair, Lord. Oh God, I pray that You set free, oh Lord, those that need to be set free and delivered. Oh God, for Thou art able to do this, Lord. You are able to save even to the uttermost, and even tonight, Lord. Oh God, that Thy blood would flow to atone for sin, Lord. Oh God, that, oh, there would be some, Lord, oh God, who would realize Your saving ability, Lord. Oh God, I come to You, Jesus. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that You would work. Oh God, that You'd use this, Lord, that You'd give me the words, oh God, the anointing, oh Lord, oh God, the unction that comes from You, Jesus, the ability. Oh God, I know I could do nothing without You, Lord. And oh God, we come before You, Lord, with our needs, oh God, oh Lord. And oh God, certainly, oh God, You know how to help us. Oh God, You know how to meet every need. God, You know how to draw us to Thyself, Lord. And I pray that You would work in Jesus' name, that You give us again faith and hope, Lord, that the strong man would be bound in Jesus' name, and all the opposition in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh Lord, that which You shed for us. Oh God, that we might have hope, that we might have deliverance. Oh God, that we might believe, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that we might, oh God, be participants in Thy kingdom. Oh, thank You, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd work in Jesus' name. Oh God, use this for Your name's sake and Your glory. Oh, thank You, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We have such a privilege here tonight. Oh, yes, to be able to come before the Lord and, oh God, to look upon Him and to live. And that's what we're going to call this message. Lord willing, Lord, look and live. But we serve a wonderful God. And, you know, I just woke up today just, you know, thinking, how wonderful it is to be able to come boldly before that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Oh, yes, to find help in the time of need. I just know that our God is so able to help us. He knows how to make a way even when it seems that there is no way. But I just couldn't help but think how privileged we are because here we are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The great one, and you know, what other important person could you go before and have access before his throne? And you know, and he wouldn't, say, I'm busy now, come back, 40 days from now, or, 5 hours from now, or whatever. But, we have instant access to his throne and to obtain mercy in his sight. And what a wonderful gift we have been given by God. And who else would listen to us again time after time after time? I just had to draw nigh to the Lord in appreciation this morning, thinking, what a wonderful blessing it is to go before him, he's always patient, he's always willing, he doesn't say, go away, I've heard enough of you, it's somebody else's turn now, but here he is, he has access to all that would come unto him, that throne of grace and great mercy. Thank the Lord, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord, we can look to him and live. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to begin this message by going to Psalms 34. Praise the Lord and see how the Lord might direct this. Psalms 34. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I know we serve a God who can prove himself. What he's declared in his word, he's willing to do. And he is looking with great eagerness and willingness to help us as we come to him and look to him. And praise the Lord, he is. He's looking for that kind of person that will draw nigh unto him and look to him and live. Praise the Lord. Let's look here at a portion of Psalms 34. Praise the Lord. This is a Psalm of David, it tells us, and it appears that he penned this at a time when he had been delivered from, a great distress and a problem there. And, God had obviously intervened on his behalf. And here is what comes out of his mouth after that experience. It says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And I think it's so beautiful, that praise that comes out of the mouth. Out of the soul, out of the depths of the soul. He's talking about the soul making her boast in the Lord. And, therefore the humble, those that are poor in spirit, those that have a meek and a contrite heart towards God, oh, they shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, praise the Lord. We can never praise the Lord enough. And yes, it should be at all times that we would bless the Lord and that praise continually be in our mouths. Oh, then he declares in that third verse, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, enlarge him. Make him great. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, let him be magnified. Oh, from our mouths, oh, from our being, from our living. And let us exalt his name together. Oh, praise the Lord. There is none like the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we can acknowledge him now, that we can praise him now, that we can know him now, that we can come to him now. And those sins which were, as crimson, can be made as white as snow. Oh, I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. And then verse 4 tells us, oh yes, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And I believe there in our journey of life, we all go through troubled spots and times when there's even anxiety, perhaps, and fears that try to overwhelm us and get a hold of us. But you know, there's one thing we can always do. Oh, there's one that has answers. And as David, the psalmist, did, he said, I sought the Lord. That is something we are so privileged to do, to seek the Lord with all our hearts, to cry out to the Lord. And praise the Lord, it says, he heard me. And not only so, but he delivered me from all my fears. Oh, we serve a God who comes through. We serve a God who rescues us, who delivers us, who sets us free and makes himself known to us. Oh, praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Oh, I know that our Lord, our God, is coming one of these days. He's coming back to this earth. He's coming for those that look for him. Oh, yes, he's going to appear to those that look for him without sin unto salvation. Those that are pure in heart, those that have committed their lives to the Lord and been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, the light of his countenance, oh, that shines upon us when he fills us with his Spirit. And praise the Lord, the people of the Lord are able to look unto the living God and know that he comes through. Oh, yes. And that he strengthens. Oh, yes. And their faces were not ashamed. Oh, my. We don't have to be ashamed if those sins have been taken care of. If that blood has covered our sins, we can look into the face of God when he appears and not be ashamed. And then that sixth verse, the psalmist is writing, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, praise the Lord. That cry that comes up, you know, we have a problem, we have a need, and sometimes we may be surrounded by the enemy in more ways than one. But praise the Lord, there's a cry that comes from the heart. And there's a God that's listening. Oh, yes, a God who intervenes. And yes, as the psalmist wrote, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles, out of all his troubles. Oh, praise the Lord for his mighty deliverance. There is nothing too hard for our God. Oh, yes, sometimes it might go down to the very last minute. You know, and sometimes we might almost think the answer is going to come, but we can hold on to faith and keep believing God. He knows how to intervene. He knows how to come through, and he's willing to do that. Oh, I know there's times he's waiting on us. He's waiting to see if we're going to keep on believing, if we're going to keep on drawing nigh to God, if, you know, our spirit is going to continue to cry out to him. But praise the Lord, our God knows how to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, yes, just get into that place. Give it over to the Lord. Just taste and see. God will come through. God is good to his people. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. And then he says in verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Oh, yes, that respect that we have. We know that, oh, he is a God of authority. Oh, yes, he is a God that means business. He is the Lord of lords and God of gods. And yes, we do definitely need to respect his word and lead on it and obey it. But praise the Lord, there is no want to them that fear him. And then verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, I'll tell you what, we are told to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, yes, there's, you know, no want. The Lord knows how to take care of every detail, every circumstance, every problem. Oh, yes, that's the kind of God that we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to go to Numbers 21 right now. And here in this story, we have the children of Israel there in the wilderness at this point. And it tells us in the first verse here of Numbers chapter 21, "And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners." Now, we don't have a whole lot of information here as far as all the details, and I, you know, I would suspect that possibly they had gotten into some kind of trouble and not believing God, or consequences of some kind of rebellion or whatever all, but anyway, it could be that the Lord even just allowed it to happen to prove himself. Because, you know, God takes us through all kinds of circumstances. He's taking us through the wilderness too, you know. We've got trials, we've got setbacks, we've got problems. There's all kinds of things that try to shove their head in front of us and discourage us and hinder us. It's all the time. And, you know, I think God looks to see if we're going to consider him, if we're going to cry out to him, or if we're going to lean on him. And praise the Lord, we can be victorious through the Lord Jesus. And all those other things can scatter, they can go in the name of the Lord. But anyway, here, old Israel was in a problem again. King Arad had come up from the south, and here, you know, he's fighting against them, and some of them were taken prisoners. Well, they did cry out to the Lord, it appears. It tells us in verse 2, "And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." Well, they had been told to do that. And here they're just, you know, again, vowing that if God will deliver them, that they will go forward with this, which they were supposed to be doing. And praise the Lord, we've got a God who's so patient and so kind. And oh my, again, as we read those references to the one that hears the cries of those that seek him. It tells us in verse 3, "And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah." Hormah, which I believe was the chief town of the Canaanites. So here it's destroyed, and that word Hormah actually means a place of destruction or a devoted place. But here it was taken care of. The Lord hearkened unto them, you know. He could tell that they meant business this time, and God allowed them, yes, to overtake the enemy. And yes, they did fulfill their vow. Praise God. And so then it continues here in verse 4. Praise the Lord. It tells us, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." You know, I imagine most all of us would probably understand discouragement. You know, I mean, here they had been, you know, circling around for a while. They'd, you know, been going this route in the wilderness. The wilderness was not very pretty. It wasn't yet that land flowing with milk and honey. No, that was beyond it. They could just make it through the wilderness. But here they are, you know, and it's well, the book of Deuteronomy tells us that it's, you know, a horrible and dreadful land, you know, snakes, scorpions, without water, without food, you know, and, you know, here they are, this multitude of people, this great multitude of people going through the wilderness as God would lead them. So here they are, obviously kind of sick of this, I guess. It says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And as I said, I would suppose that all of us have known discouragement at certain times. But there's one thing that we never want to do, and that's to blame God for our trouble. Instead, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and show faith. But these people, I'm afraid, did exactly what they should have never, ever have done. It says in verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Okay, so there's some problems here. Oh my, they're muttering, you know, Egypt was a land of bondage, and God had mightily delivered them out of Egypt. But yet here again, in their discouragement, they are verbalizing deep regrets even for having even left Egypt. And it was God who had led them in using Moses. And here they are, they're speaking against God and against the man that had been leading them, that God had provided to lead them, Moses. So they said, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Just very negative, you know, supposing they were going to die there, that they were never going to get out of there, not looking to the promises of God, but, you know, I'm stuck here. We're stuck here. We're never going to get out of here, obviously. And why did you bring us out of here, oh, you Moses? Oh, well, not very respectful, was it? Or against God. And they said, for there is no bread, neither is there any water. And then what they said next, oh my, they should have never said this. They said, our soul loatheth this light bread. Now come on, that light bread they're talking about is the manna that God provided. That was their sustenance. And you know, I'm sure it was a wonderful bread. You know, I'm sure it had all the nourishment that they needed, and God had given them strength. You know, it also tells us, yes, that their legs did not swell, their feet did not swell there as they traveled, you know, this journey through the wilderness. Oh, their clothes didn't need repair, and you know, their needs were taken care of. But here, they're saying, we hate this manna that you gave us, Lord. They're saying that. Our soul loatheth this light bread. Oh my. Now that is something. They were despising the blessings of God. Oh, and that is something we don't ever want to do. We know that Esau was rejected from receiving the birthright because of his attitude and his spirit. And God rejected him. That birthright compares to what God has given us. That spirit of adoption that he puts in our heart, that we might be heirs of God, that we might be filled with his spirit. And Esau got to that place where he rejected that which was to be his. And here, these children of Israel were to that place where they were verbalizing great complaints against the blessing of the Lord, the food that God had given them to sustain their physical being. And they were saying, I hate it. In other words, our soul loatheth this light bread. Oh, there's some problems here. Some problems blaming God, blaming Moses, complaining about lack of food and lack of water, and obviously murmuring that, you know, they should have never left Egypt. And then to say, their soul loatheth this light bread. Well, obviously, God was not pleased with this. You know, for sure, God heard every moment. He knew every thought. And God responded. It tells us in verse 6, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." And I don't know for how long this continued, but God allowed this. And you know, it is so true that sometimes God does hard things to get our attention. He allows certain things to come upon us at times so that we will cry out, so we will get our hearts right with God, and so that we will fall to Him on our knees. And so it was here. These fiery serpents came into the camp where they were among the people and began to bite the people. And yes, it was not good. Much of the people died. And that's obviously what it took for God to get their attention. Oh, you know, we have loved ones, and boys, we ourselves may have been in a position at one point where we were with God, without God and without hope, and you know, somehow God had mercy on us and pulled us out of that terrible pit that we were in, that entrenching place that, you know, God had sunk us so low that perhaps we couldn't even see up at all. But praise God for His mercy. Oh, that cry that comes out when people will realize their need. Oh, yes, for the living God. Oh, I hope Brother Matthew won't mind me saying this, but it just came to mind right now. I just think how his story is, that how he was in such despair and didn't know where to turn. And, you know, he actually cried out to the Lord and said, "God, if you don't help me, I'm going to kill myself." And, you know, God heard that cry. God kept Matt, and God even brought him here to be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we serve a very merciful God. And, you know, if people would just cry out from the depths of their heart and give their lives to the Lord and turn it over to God, there is mercy. There are answers that God brings about. And so after these tragic events, the serpents in the camp and the people dying, oh, it obviously got these Israelites' attention. And verse 7 tells us, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.'" And Moses prayed for the people. Oh, yes, here it was. Finally, they acknowledged their sin. Oh, you know, it is such a need. We must acknowledge our sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those wages of sin is death. But praise the Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. If, oh, yes, we'd only fall on the rock. Oh, yes, that need is so great to fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. Otherwise, that rock is going to turn one day. Oh, it's going to turn and break to pieces those that have not fallen on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, there's a great need to cry out and to acknowledge sin and to come to the living Father. Oh, yes, the living God. As a child, in humility and in repentance. Oh, a true repentance that comes from the heart, realizing, oh, that we need Jesus. Oh, and that we must have Jesus, and that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, praise the Lord, the people got to that place. God used this to bring them to that place where they could acknowledge their guilt and come to Him in repentance. And they said, we have sinned against the Lord and against thee. And then they asked Moses, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. I'll tell you what, that Moses, I marveled at him. You know, this had to be such a hard assignment. I think about that. I mean, you know, here this man, you know, he had to leave Egypt when he was 40. He spent, you know, those next 40 years there in the wilderness, God preparing him, God working through him, and then, you know, he's 80. And then, you know, God calls him to lead the children of Israel out. And, you know, sometimes people talk about retirement. Well, I'll tell you what, this was no retirement. Oh, not at all. This man, Moses, God gave him this assignment. He was 80 years old to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Oh, this was nothing easy about it at all. And there he is, this meek man that had such a compassion and such a kind spirit about him. Oh boy, I just think about that. Oh, here it was, and how many times, you know, his patience was tried with these people who, you know, would do good for 5 hours and then do terrible the next. And on and on and on, you know, and you know, have to go through this scenario again and again and again. But here we have Moses praying for the people. He was making intercession for these people that, had sinned even against God and even against himself. But here he is crying out on their behalf. Oh, what a privilege we have to go before that throne of grace. And we also can make intercession for the people. You know, we have those loved ones that are on our heart. We have those friends that are on our heart. Oh, we see a world that is so taken back into us in a debauchery. And it's so needful of a Savior. But God has allowed us to make intercession, to cry out on behalf of others. And who knows what the Lord may yet do, that son, that daughter, that brother, that sister, that husband, that wife, that needs the Lord, that needs to turn from their willful disobedience and come to the living God. Intercession can make such a difference. And God heard Moses' prayer. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 8, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Oh God, make it a way. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God made a way that they could look and live. Oh, yes, if they could just make their way to that brazen serpent that was lifted up there in the wilderness, there on a pole, they could just come and look at it. They could just behold in it. Oh, if they could just look at it. If they had been bitten by a serpent, even so, if they beheld that serpent of brass, they would live. Oh, yes, you know, why did he do a serpent of brass? You know, I think it was a continual reminder there of their backsliding, of their sin, of their complaints. Oh, yes, how they had sinned. But praise the Lord, if they get to that place, where they can acknowledge their guilt. And, they could seek the Lord and go to look, in obedience to that place. where that brass serpent was on the pole, that they could be halted, they would live. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our mighty God. And oh, yes, God made a way. God, in His great mercy. God, oh, who loved us so much that He came to a world that was so full of sin to die on a cross, to take that curse. Oh, yes, where it says in the book of Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a cross. But Jesus Christ took that curse for us. Oh, yes, He took our sin for us. Oh, yes, He bled. He died for us. Oh, yes, that we might look upon Him and live, that we could look on Him and oh, yes, have everlasting life. Oh, we praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of John, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. It was going to take that. It was going to take His dying on a cross, being lifted up there in Golgotha. Oh, yes, that place of a skull. Yes, being lifted up there, taking our sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin, taking our sins upon Himself. And there He was. Oh, it tells us in John, the 3rd chapter, if we could just go there quickly. Praise the Lord. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. John, chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, here we were, all sinners, all lost. What was it going to take to bring us back to God? What was it going to take to redeem our souls? What was it going to take? Oh, God knew there was only one way. There was only one thing that would help us in our hopeless situation, that burden of sin upon us. And oh, no strong deliverance, only the blood of bulls and goats to temporarily relieve us of sin. What was it going to take? Oh, it tells us again here, that 14th verse in John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, there He was, lifted up on the cross of Calvary, giving His life a ransom for many, dying, shedding His blood, that we might have hope, that we might have access to Him, that we might come to Him and be saved. Praise the Lord, that we might be heirs of eternal life, of salvation. Praise the Lord, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All this world was in such a hopeless state, it says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, the world was condemned already. It was in horrible condition. Individuals without hope. But God put on flesh. God Almighty, the Creator, His own creation, which had despised so many things that were eternal and so many things that were godly. But here it was, God putting on flesh to seek and to save those that were lost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, to help us. Oh, in that condemned state that we were at. Oh, that we were in. Oh, God in His mercy. You know, I can't quite imagine what it would be to be a prisoner on death row. I know Anna was telling me that there was a correspondent recently that wrote to us, in that condition, but I can't imagine what that would feel like, and of course we don't want to imagine what that would be like, but you know, what would it be like if you were in such a position and you knew the day was coming when, you know, they were going to kill you, or, you know, you're going to have to, you know, pay the price for whatever crime you committed. And, you know, that was always there, you know, you knew it, you know, it was in front of you one of these days, you know, you're a death row, you know, you're going to have to pay that price. But what if somebody came and, you know, said, we're going to let you go. We're going to let you, we're going to free you from this place, from that penalty, and from that condemnation. We're going to free you, you know, we're going to set you free so you don't have to be at death row anymore. What would that feel like? Oh my, can you imagine? But that's what Jesus did for us. Oh, we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. Oh, we were without hope in this world. We were miserable sinners. And what could we do to save ourselves? We could do nothing to save ourselves. Oh, but praise the Lord, there was one. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, stooping so low. Oh, yes, as it tells us in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to ask you to turn there with me now. Hebrews, the second chapter, oh, our God coming to this world. Oh, yes, making himself a little lower than the angels. Putting him in that vulnerable position, you know, where he'd be a man, where he'd be subject to hunger, to want, you know, to thirst. All those things that a human life is subject to. But God Almighty putting on flesh to save us from that. Oh, to save us from sin. Tells us in Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. All these things that are written in the Word of God need to go deep into our hearts. We don't want to let them slip, you know? That human tendency to forget, to put off things, to ignore things that we don't want to hear. But here we're told, we're admonished to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. I mean, God sees it all. He knows it all. And, you know, those angels, oh, the word even spoken by them was steadfast. And, you know, every transgression, every act of disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, according to the deed, it was repaid. Nothing missed. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Oh, how are we going to get out of this if we don't listen now, if we don't make haste to come to Jesus now? What hope is there for us? How are we going to escape eternal damnation if we don't come to God now? If we neglect, if we ignore, if we despise what Jesus Christ has done for us when he was lifted up from the earth to draw all men unto himself. What's going to happen to us? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And how was it confirmed? It says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Oh, yes. God stands by his word. Oh, yes, if we'll go forth and do what he has asked us to do, he'll stand by it. He'll do the rest. The things that we can't do ourselves, God will do. But God stood by his word. It tells us he bore them witness, those that went forth and declared salvation to those that would listen. God bore them witness, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles. Those are confirmations that these are the children of God, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Oh, those gifts of the Holy Ghost that He gives to His people when we are filled with the Holy Ghost baptism according to His will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. It wasn't to the angels, or of the angels, but one in a certain place, and now he's going to go to Psalms chapter 8, testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" What is man? You know, he wasn't going to die for the angels, or, you know, they weren't going to be under subjection to the world to come. But it was for the sake of mankind. Oh, yes, the psalmist asked, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou would visit him?" Oh, praise the Lord. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Oh yes, there's that moment, yes, after the judgment, when all things will be put fully under Jesus Christ. And it'll all be fulfilled to the uttermost. But there was one, oh yes, the Almighty God, who was mindful of man. Oh, so mindful that he would put on flesh to come to this world to visit him, making himself a little lower than the angels. Oh, yes, so unassuming he came, you know. So unassuming that they didn't recognize him and they didn't give credence to him. Oh, they neglected him, they ignored him, they despised him, they blasphemed him, and they crucified him. Oh, so many, except those that did receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh yes, that power, the Holy Ghost baptism that he gives to his children, that we might become the sons of God. Oh, praise the Lord. But he came to this earth, oh yes, to do that which none other could do. Oh yes, shoes that nobody else could fill. He knew there was no other way, and he did it for us. Such love as that God would give his life a ransom for us. Such as we are, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, whoever heard of such a thing? Oh, maybe some might, you know, give their life for another individual. But very rarely. But he gave his life for all that would come to him in repentance and surrender their hearts, their wills, their minds, their emotions to him. Oh, he gave his life a ransom. Oh, for many, those that would be subjective to the almighty plan of God that would come to him in faith. So praise the Lord. It says in verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death." Coming to this world to suffer death. Come on, again, whoever heard of such a thing? But there he came. They didn't recognize him. He didn't look like a king or somebody important. He's very despised, very lowly. But here he came. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, the Creator, in other words, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect, through sufferings. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he was doing. He's going to bring his children unto himself. Oh, yes, that he might bestow upon them his riches, his glory, that honor for those that would overcome. And it was that he made the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It tells us in verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth means to make holy, and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, come on. How can he stoop to our level? I mean, how can he embrace us like that? You know, to make us part of his family, the family of God, that we might be joint heirs with Christ, that we might rule and reign with him, that we might be recipients of his promise. Oh my, it's such a marvel here, you know. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, his own family, oh, his children, oh yes, heirs of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord. He is so good. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Oh, he declared his name. His name was made known. We embrace that name of Jesus. Oh, yes, we pray in that name. We're baptized in that name. Oh, yes, we honor that name. It's been declared. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Oh, what praises need to well up in our innermost being. Oh, yes, for we can appreciate the greatness of God, the wonder of his mercy. Oh, yes, the great gift that he has bestowed upon us. Nothing that we could merit, nothing that we could deserve, nothing that we could ever earn by ourselves. But God stooping down, oh yes, when we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And praise the Lord, oh yes, the church, why sing praises, oh it's no wonder, oh Isaiah uttered in prophecy in Isaiah 12, in that day thou shalt say, oh Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. Wow, reversal. How did we deserve that? We didn't. But that's our God. And oh, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger has been turned away. We were all alienated from God. We were all strangers. We did things, oh, that caused damnation, or could have caused damnation, had God not reached down to rescue us. Thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. This is what he did for us, robing himself in flesh, the creator of the universe coming to this world to save us. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, we can reach down. He reached down. Oh, yes, to save us, to rescue us out of that pit, that horrible pit, that miry clay that we were all in. And therefore, oh, now we can draw water, that living water, out of the wells of salvation. Oh, it's so deep. There's always more of God's Spirit that we can receive of. Oh, yes, there's always more. We might be dry, we might be famished, but there's always more. Oh, yes, as we seek the Lord, as we call upon him, there's more of the infilling of the Holy Ghost to come upon our souls. Oh, yes. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Oh, no name like the name Jesus. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord, we have a right to shout and sing. We have a need to shout and sing. The Lord has delivered us. Oh, we were in great distress. We were in great bondage. Oh, yes, for sin is bondage. Oh, yes, we were all dead, as I said, in our trespasses and sin. And there was a time when, oh, yes, we would not, oh, have heeded that call. As it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? But God somehow put it within us so that it came to us to call upon the Lord, to seek the Lord, to come before Him. Oh, yes, to turn to Him with all our hearts. And I do marvel. I know in my own life, I just know how the Lord drew me that night when He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I know, I just, it was like all at once, you know, everything else that had set me back and it hindered me all at once was gone. It was gone. All I knew was I needed Jesus. Nothing was going to stop me. I wanted to get up there. I had to pour out my heart. Oh, yes, I was going to repent and turn my life over to God. Oh, praise the Lord. He called me, you know, and He put it in me so that I could respond to that call of God. I wasn't myself. I know it was God. Oh, yes, He put it upon me. And oh, He made it, oh, just so that I could not reject. There was nothing in me that, could do anything but respond. The wonderful grace of God, we can declare His doings among the people. Oh, we need to cry out and shout, oh, inhabitant of Israel. Oh, yes, of Zion. Oh, praise the Lord, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He's in the midst of His people. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, there am I in your midst, Jesus said. You know, here He is. Oh, He's here among us tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, He's made it possible that we could come to Him. Oh, praise the Lord. And He says here in Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in Him. Oh, praise the Lord. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Oh, God, in His great mercy, who reached down to save our souls, to call us, oh, yes, to choose us even from the foundation of the world and put it within our hearts. Oh, yes, that we might serve Him, that we might respond to that call and turn from our sins and our wickedness. Says here in verse 14, Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. This is why He came. Yes, He put on flesh that He might destroy the works of the devil. He might destroy the power of death. He might, oh yes, destroy the enemy. Oh, that was trying. Yes. Oh, to destroy us. The old devil. And it says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, that horrible bondage of sin. Again, you know, we know so many people don't really understand the horrors of sin. We are born into this world as sinners. Oh, yes, and it comes so naturally, doesn't it? You know, a baby doesn't have to be just too old and to get naughty, you know? I give them a few months, a few days, you know. That tendency is so there. But Jesus made a way that, we could be set free from those natural impulses and instincts. Oh, yes. Oh, that sin that was upon us. And you know, people often have trouble with that, but Jesus told the Jews in the 8th chapter of John, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Well, praise the Lord if we've been able to realize that it is he. He is the I am. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. We could just see that. If we could just grasp this. Oh yes, it happened in that chapter that there were many that believed on him as he spoke those words. But then he continued to say in the 31st verse here of John 8, those Jews that believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, you wouldn't think that these words would stir up a hornet's nest, would you? But they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, what ignorance. How could they, you know, ignore the bondage that they had been delivered from? But here, that's what they're saying. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? In other words, they didn't realize that they needed to be set free from sin. They didn't get it. They were in their trespasses and sins, and they didn't get that need to be set free. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Oh, yes, that natural, instinctive way of man and woman, boy and girl, oh yes, that thing of sin that's deep within our beings. But we know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made a way that we could confess these sins to him. Oh, we don't have to go to a priest. Oh, no, we don't have to confess it to another person. We go to the Lord Jesus, the one who made a way, the one who died for our sins. We can go to that throne of grace. Oh, yes, and confess those sins. And know that he is faithful and he is just. He is willing to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise the Lord, he made a way. Yes, he commanded us to be baptized in the water for the remission of sins. Oh, yes. So, yes, those sins are forgiven and taken care of so the penalty of sin is gone. That's what Jesus did for us. Oh, making a way. We who, oh, were dead. So dead in our sins. And he, oh my, came to this world. Tells us, verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Again, he didn't come to save the angels, but he came to save mankind. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Oh, he who is tempted, in all the same ways as we are tempted. Yet he was without sin. Yet he overcame those temptations. Oh yes, and here he is, that merciful, that faithful high priest who is ascended into the heavens now. Oh yes, to make atonement for our sins, to make reconciliation. Oh yes, for the sins of the people, that which he has done. Oh yes. So there he is now in the heavens as a high priest. A priest is one who makes intercession. Oh yes, who atones for the sins of the people. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Oh yes, It behooved him. That was, you know, necessary for him to do, to be made like unto his brethren, to put on flesh, to come to this earth, to taste of life, to taste of death, to know what it is like to be in a human form. He did that. He took on the form of man so that he could deliver them who were through fear of death all their lifetime, subject unto the things of this life, the things of the flesh. But Jesus put on flesh, or God Almighty put on flesh, to come to this world to save us, to become that merciful and faithful high priest. Oh, yes. That could help us in our time of need. And how beautiful it is. It tells us in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Praise the Lord. As we said, yes, he put on that flesh. Oh, yes, to be tempted, to be tried, to know what it's like to be a man, to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful, beautiful, gracious high priest we have. And here it is, he tells us in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Oh, praise the Lord, that is what he bids us to do. Oh, we don't have to tiptoe. You know, we don't have to wait 100 years or, you know, even a week, even a day. But we can come to him now. We come to him as we are. For there's nothing that we can do of ourselves anyway to rid ourselves of sin. But we can come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, what a beautiful plan. What a gracious Savior. What a Redeemer. Oh, no wonder we can sing of our Redeemer. Oh, yes, and all that price that he paid for our ransom. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That willingness that he had. Oh, yes, to stand in our place, to atone for our sin, to take our wicked deeds upon himself, he who knew no sin. It tells us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, "Wherefore seeing," this is verse 1, Hebrews 12, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Oh, yes, we are in an endurance race right now. Oh, yes, we may be going through the wilderness. We may be, oh, Lord knows that we may be in the midst of trials and temptations and discouragement and, oh, pain and suffering and all those kind of things. But, oh, praise the Lord, let's lay all of that aside, all the discouragement, all the sin, all the things that try to hinder us, every weight that doth so easily beset us, trying to overwhelm us. And let us run with patience. Oh, there's a goal. There's something that we are running to attain. Oh, yes, the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, they were going to Canaan land. Yes, that place that God had prepared for them once they got through the wilderness. But oh yes, God has prepared a place for his people that love him and keep his commandments. Oh, a place, oh yes, a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh yes, a heavenly city that's coming down from God out of heaven. Oh yes, a place that's prepared for his people, those that love him, those that have come to him, those that keep his commandments, those, oh yes, that overcome. Praise the Lord, we can run with patience. We can run with patience the race that is set before us, because we know, yes, there's something that we're aiming for, that heavenly vision that we have. Oh yes, and as we do it, oh, we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, praise the Lord. There was a joy that was set before him. You know what that joy was? That joy was you and I. That joy was those that would come to Jesus Christ in faith and turn from their evil, sinful ways and receive him as Lord and Savior. Oh, yes. It tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." Oh, what was the pleasure of the Lord? He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, yes. That is the joy that was set for him. That was the travail of his soul. That is what satisfied him. That is what he was looking for. There was there was something that he was going to redeem. There were a people that he was going to redeem. Oh yes, and he was going to set free from the bondage of sin. Oh yes, and he was going to change and intervene in their lives and give us hope. Oh yes, so that we could live with him for all eternity. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what he did. He could see the travail of his soul. You know, it satisfied him. Oh, praise the Lord, that's why he died. That's why he came to this earth. Oh, yes, because there was a people. Oh, the joy that was set before him. These people that I'm going to set free. These people that are going to believe on me. These people, oh, yes, they're going to live for me and keep my commandments. Oh, praise the Lord, he saw us and has satisfied him. Oh, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord, we could not save ourselves. Oh, there is no way we could save ourselves. But God, in his long-suffering, in his mercy, reached down, oh yes, to pick us up out of that miry clay, place, oh, where we were so stuck in our sins and in our trespasses. He reached down for us, oh, yes. Oh, that we might have a hope beyond this world, that we might come to him in faith, oh, yes, that we might look to him, that we might look to him and live for all eternity. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that price that you paid for us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, you know. And he's holding out, Lord. If you haven't yet come to the Lord, oh, yes, you can still look to him. You can look to him and live. Oh, praise the Lord. You can come to him tonight and receive of his great and wonderful salvation. Oh, Isaiah 45, verse 22. "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Oh, look to me and be saved. Look to Jesus and live. Praise the Lord. Look to Jesus and live. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, God. We exalt thy holy and wonderful name. Thank you, God, for thy wonderful plan of salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Praise thy name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Look to Jesus and live. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our hymnals one more time to number 300 and sing Look to the Lamb of God, number 300. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God, for He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in His strength shall over all prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Are you aweary? Does the way seem long? Look to the Lamb of God. His love will cheer and fill your heart with song. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall. Look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God, for He
the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.